Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams is brought to you by Built. Whether you're renting or paying a mortgage, one of your biggest monthly expenses should be working harder for you. That's where Built comes in. Built is the membership for where you live that rewards you with points on every housing payment wherever you live. Built started out rewarding members on their rent. Now, as of 2026, Built members can also earn points on mortgage payments wherever they live. Every housing payment earns you points you can use towards flights with top travel partners like United and Hyatt, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, and so much more. Personally, I'd redeem my points for some of my favorite restaurants or to freshen up the home with the Built Home Collection. But here's what I think is the most underrated part. Built members also get access to a neighborhood concierge. It can make restaurant reservations, book fitness classes, and find new local spots, all while being rewarded at more than 45,000 merchant partners. It's like having a personal assistant baked into where you live. It's simple. Being a renter and now owning a home is better with Built. Join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/assembly. That's joinbilt.com/assembly. And make sure you use our URL so they know we sent you.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Welcome to Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams. I am your host, Stacey Abrams. Today, we are going to have a conversation about the intersection of art and politics. Over the last few weeks, we have watched the attempt at the White House to obscure what we understand about either of these things, from the cage match on the lawn to the attacks on artists and the attempt to convince people to be a part of something they don't really believe in. Art always precedes politics. It shows us who we are, it reminds us of what we believe, and it helps us to imagine what can come next. But for a lot of us, the arts feel more and more remote, not because we don't have access, but because we doubt their truth. I'm excited about today's conversation because I know that the intersection of art and politics is real, in part because of what I do for a living. In addition to this podcast, I'm a writer. And this coming week, I have a novel that is coming out in paperback. It's, for me, a conversation about artificial intelligence and diversity, equity, and inclusion, about healthcare. It's about how I use art to help talk about and think about my politics. I see this intersection as a necessary way for me to navigate the world I'm a part of. And so I'm delighted to welcome you into my brain as we have this conversation. Joining me today for this exploration is actress, director, and activist Kathleen Turner, and the former mayor of Ithaca, New York, and president of People for the American Way, Savante Myrick. Kathleen Turner, Savante Myrick, welcome to Assembly Required.
Thank you. Very happy to join you.
Well, I am excited, and this is really an extraordinary opportunity for me because it combines two of the most important facets of my life, the arts and politics. As longtime listeners know, as longtime people who've paid attention, I do a lot in politics, but I've also written 17 books. But in high school, I actually went to performing arts high school, and so being able to talk to the inimitable Kathleen Turner, who hopefully will never see me act in anything, is just is wonderful. And the reason I was excited about this conversation is that we are in a moment where the intersection of art and politics is no longer a nice to have. It is a necessary part of how we think about democracy. And so I wanted to start this conversation off by talking to both of you about how you have come together for this new initiative that uses the power of art and the power of creativity to save our democracy. And so, Kathleen, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, I want to tell you this story. I mean, I've served on the board of People for the American Way for 40-some years now. And I was brought in by Norman Lear. Yeah. And the way he got me into it was he called and said that textbooks were editing Shakespeare in their publications. And would I come in and read Juliet along with Chris Reeves to read Romeo to illustrate the cuts that were being done. And first of all, I thought, my God, I'm never going to play Juliet, for God's sake. You know, I mean, I am not your answer to. But no, truly, it was extraordinary because there were lines like I have bought a mansion and not yet possessed it. And this is after the wedding in the play. Yeah. So, hey, you know, it's legal anyway. And just the thought of this arbitrary cutting of Shakespeare made me so angry that I said, okay, what else? What else? And over the years, I've been able to work with a lot of wonderful people. And one of the greatest focus I have now is working with the YEOs, the young elected officials, and we can talk about that. But our project right now, The Art of Saving Democracy, is exactly what you're talking about, the absolute essential need for art to step up and speak up.
I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about People for the American Way. You and I have had a chance to work together. I was one of the YEOs long, long ago when I was young. Yeah. And one of the incredible parts about PFAW, People for the American Way, is its longevity. But I would love for you to talk about how you see PFAW's role and the role of artists in social movements and why this moment calls for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those listeners who may not, People for the American Way had founded an organization called the Young Elected Officials Network. I was 20 years old when I was elected to the city council, and we all looked up to Stacey then. And when I was 24, I was elected mayor. I was elected again at 28, again at 32. And Norman himself called me when he was 99, and he said, I want you to come and run the organization because I only have about 20 years left in me. And we always felt, Stacey, of course, that you didn't used to be a member of the Young Elected Officials Network. You still are, because we're not like Menudo, you know, even if once you get older than 35, we don't kick you out. And of course, you. If you get that joke, you're probably too old for the network.
Yes.
It's amazing how many the kids, they know BTS, but not Menudo. And from the very beginning, you know, Norman Lear, possibly the most influential and successful TV producer and creator of the 20th century, understood what we understand, which is that politics is way downstream of culture. From the stories we learn when we're little, the morals we pull from those stories, the songs we sing, the art we see, it can either tell a story that we are tied together in a web of destiny, or we're all out here on our own, that we should be afraid of each other, that we should fear our fellow people. And, you know, it's very rare the person, Stacey, I must tell you, that is so extraordinary at both, whether it's novels about love and mystery and romance, or Star Trek, which it's incredible how often I see the people. You ever have people come up to you and I'm like, why are they making Star Trek so political? And I'm like, my brother in Christ, have you seen the entire series is political? But of course, all art is political. All art is political. It's just a question of what are the politics of that art? And we think, you know, it, with this new action kit that we're putting out. The toolkit is a handy box, good for you or good for a gift. When you open it, comes complete with a book full of illustrations of 25 of the greatest American artists of all time and stories about how they came to use their art to help save democracy. The toolkit also has question prompts that you can use in a classroom or at a book club. It's not just a book. It's not just a packet of questions. It's not just instructions about how to contact your representatives, how to run for office, how to make a difference, how to use your art to change the world. It's all of those things. But it's a collection of 45 years of wisdom, which is that when facing down a fascist government, when facing down fascism in general, bullets can never kill fascism. They can. Violence can't kill fascism, but music can and does. Art can and does. And the right play, the right actress, the right song can create a movement. And we are very proud. You know, it's available in stores now. And you think it's a book about art and democracy. How well could it do? It's already a USA Today bestseller. So we're hoping to reach as many people as possible to give them this toolkit so they can save the country.
For me, in some ways, I hear so often, I hear, yeah, I would do something if I knew what to do, or I would do something if I didn't feel so helpless, or, you know, kind of thing. And so this is an action kit. You know, yeah. This is how, it's the answer to, well, if I knew what to do, okay, here you go.
I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to have the conversation today is that, you know, Svante, when you and I spoke about the 10 Steps campaign that I launched, we have the 10 Steps to Authoritarianism and Autocracy. Here are the things they've done wrong. Here are the ways they're trying to destroy us. But the part that I'm excited about is here are the 10 Steps to Freedom and Power. Here are the 10 things that you can do to make it possible for us to seize our power back. And when we spoke about the work, and you referenced Kathleen's leadership on the Artists for Democracy, what it signaled to me is exactly what you both said, that this is about not just bemoaning the darkness, but finding the light. And Kathleen, would love for you to talk about how you've seen this point of entry as a part of your legacy and the part of the work that you do.
Stacey, I have a one-woman play that's Molly Ivins. Yes. Red Hot Patriot. And I've done that for several years. Usually around election times, I try and, you know, pull it out. In her last column, Molly Ivins wrote, "Beloved, these are some bad, ugly, angry times, and I am so freaked out. Hatred has stolen the conversation. The poor are now voting against themselves, but politics is not about left or right. It's about up and down, the few screwing the many." Now, she wrote that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, and to me, this is more true now. We have to bring this out into discussion. We have to bring this out so that people are aware. It's not disinterest, I think, so much as a kind of afraid of being involved, do you think? But involvement can be for so little. It can be so easy to do.
So we run the Young Elected Officials, but we in particular think that saving our country means building a pipeline of young women who are running for office and taking the reins of leadership. We do all sorts of training, right? We do media training and finance training. One we do is public speaking, public presentation. Well, who do you think comes and takes time out of her schedule to train these young city councilwomen, young mayors, folks you haven't heard of yet, but will? And what Kathleen gives them, do you want to talk a little bit about your experience? You've done this for years.
I'd love to hear that.
Oh, absolutely I do. Well, I'm a teacher. You know, I do teach at Pace University and others. But so the thing is, so I ask them to stand up. And the questions are, you know, tell me who you are, tell me what office you hold, tell me why you ran for that office, and tell me your plans of what you want to do with the office. And then I can give them feedback on their physical presentation and kind of editing their, you know, what they speak of, and this is necessary, this is not necessary kind of thing. But to do it in such a way that it's enjoyable. I want these younger people to understand the enjoyment of it as well. If you don't love what you're doing, you're in the wrong place.
Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams is brought to you by Quince. The best summer pieces are the ones you end up wearing on repeat. Comfortable, versatile, and somehow right for almost every occasion. That's where Quince comes in. They make elevated essentials using premium materials like European linen, organic cotton, and washable silk, all without the traditional retail markup. Quince's 100% European linen pants, dresses, and tops are the pieces you'll reach for all summer long. They're lightweight, effortless to style, and start at just $32. Their denim is soft and comfortable, and their organic cotton sweaters are perfect for layering when the evenings cool down. Quince's beautiful 14-karat gold jewelry adds a subtle finishing touch. Simple hoops or delicate chains make even the most effortless outfit feel intentional. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. With summer travel ramping up, Quince is a destination for functional, beautiful travel accessories. Whether it's a cozy sleep mask for the plane or a packing cube and jewelry storage, they have everything you need to make jet setting seamless. And it's not just apparel and accessories. Quince also offers elevated essentials for your home, from bedding and bath to kitchen essentials and furniture. Make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/Stacey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/Stacey for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Stacey. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans, and it revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. There's a gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out. And we need to do more to close that gap. That's where BetterHelp comes in. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and our 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means BetterHelp typically gets it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/Abrams. That's betterhelp.com/Abrams. Well, Kathleen, and then I'm going to come to you, Zavante. One of the things you mentioned earlier was fear. And then you just talked about how you help young women thinking about running for office find their voices. When you're in the midst of an authoritarian regime, one of the core tools of authoritarianism is that instillation of fear, this belief that this is all there is and there's no way around it. And one of the beauties of art, of creativity, is the ability to imagine something else. If you're talking to someone who does not see themselves in the public space as a politician and would never say they're an artist, what's your call to action to that person, the person who picks up this toolkit and says, I want to find my voice and I wish it sounded like Kathleen Turner when it came out of my throat? What do you tell them to think about as they are trying to overcome their fear and the fear that this moment is instilling in so many of us?
I think I have to start by asking them to inform themselves, to be aware of the local politics, of the possible restrictions and or injustices around them. I think in an interview I did not that long ago, they said, what's your primary motivator? And without thinking, I said, rage. Because I feel as though they're so, it just makes me so angry to see the acceptance of a lot of this unfairness. So I suppose the first step for me must be to ask them to be informed or to ask me questions that they need to know if I can inform them. You know, I don't mean to be all knowing or anything, but yeah, it always starts with knowing what's going on.
Well, Savante, you mentioned that, and we know it to be true, that politics is downstream of culture. And what I think so few people get about that statement is that what we think about our politics is informed by what we see in our world, what we see around us. And we are in the midst of an authoritarian regime that completely understands this. That's why we see these widespread book bans that affect novels that deal with race and culture and gender and sexuality. We're seeing this consolidation of media under the guise of right-wing leadership where, you know, because of the Paramount Warner Brothers merger, we are likely to lose, Kathleen referenced earlier, the editing of Shakespeare. We're about to lose entire libraries of movies and film and art. The administration proposed a tariff on foreign films that could have affected not just the movies coming into the U.S., but American films that get distributed overseas. And as someone who stood for office for the first time at 20 and who is leading an organization in defense of the American way, how do you see the role that this initiative plays, but more broadly, the role that the average person can play and trying to hold and expand our notion of culture?
That's such a good question. And I would say the answer is embedded, you know, better than most in the 10 steps. Your organization understands that fascists often point out their own weaknesses to you. They want to censor these movies, these books, these songs, not because they're offended by them. Right? Donald Trump's feelings aren't hurt by the jokes that Jimmy Kimmel or Stephen Colbert tells, because his feelings can't be hurt. But that's not why he's censoring them. He's not so angry. He wants to censor them because when we see somebody making fun of fascism, we realize, oh, we're not alone. When I was a little boy reading those comic books where the underdog, the poor kid, you know, I was growing up in a homeless shelter, reading my way out of poverty way before I worked my way out of poverty, I thought, geez, there must be other people like me. This is not just me. When you turn on the TV and you pick up the Action Kit and you see all of these artists, from Vincent Valdez to Roy Lichtenstein to Shepard Fairey, who all have these same feelings that you have. Carrie Mae Weems. You see, wow, that's a feeling that I had too. So I'm not alone. Fascists want to make you think you're alone. They want to make you look left and look right and say, there's something must be wrong with me. I think I'm the only one who's feeling this because I'm not hearing anybody speak up. So let me put my head down and figure out why it is I'm uncomfortable in this environment instead of fighting to change it. So broadcasting our art, and I mean that in every way, not just on television, I mean sharing it on your own social media, standing on a street corner and speaking your piece, is a way of finding other people who say, oh, I'm not losing it. Other people agree with me too. This isn't just a me problem. And censorship can never stop that if we don't let it. If we all remember why they're censoring us, it's because they fear what we are saying. Not because they're hurt by it, not because they're offended or shocked by it, but because they recognize it's our most powerful organizing tool.
Well, Kathleen, one of the things that you embody is the willingness to use your art in service of a broader politic. But we know that a number of your compatriots are afraid. They're afraid that it's going to impact them financially, that it's going to cost them jobs and opportunities. Yeah. What's your advice and how are you threading that needle when you're talking offline to folks that you know should be in this movement with us? How are you helping them navigate that fear of losing out financially in order to save society at large?
Well, you know, one of my fertile grounds is the students that I teach, college age and graduate age students. And one of the things that I say to them is never to be afraid to say no. That you are too intelligent, you will be able to pay your rent, you will be able, if so you go back and you're a waiter for another month or something, okay, fine. That this it's a terrible feeling if you were to look back on something and say, I wish I had not done that, that will stay with you for the rest of your life. But saying no will free you. I have said no often. Because there are many things I won't support, even why make choices. Don't be afraid to make choices. I think that's essential to building yourself.
Yeah, my favorite aha song. I guess it's probably everybody's favorite aha song is "Take on Me." Is there another one? I'm sure there's other ones.
I think that's the only aha song anyone knows.
I remember it must have been middle school. Struck when he says.
Now you're just showing off.
But he says, say after me. he says, say after me. It's no better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly.
And it's so true. I mean, the things that keep me awake at night are not the mistakes I made, but the chances to be courageous that I ducked. You know, not getting on the roller coaster, not standing up to the bully, not, you know, striking out on a campaign, but instead choosing a safe path. It's no better to be safe than sorry. And I think that's what the art is important, because artists demonstrate courage and people want to follow those artists. They want to follow them and say, I want to be like them. I want to stand up like Kathleen on that stage and say what I mean.
Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams is brought to you by Biologica. There's a version of you that sleeps through the night, has more energy, and actually feels like yourself again. You haven't lost her. You just need support that's built for your body. That's exactly where Biologica comes in. Biologica is a drinkable daily supplement that goes well beyond a multivitamin. They've brought together a comprehensive vitamin and mineral foundation, probiotics, electrolytes, and clinically researched botanicals, all in one drink. What makes it different is that it's not one size fits all. Biologica has three formulas designed for different hormonal life stages, so you're actually supporting your body based on where you are right now. It's an effervescent powder you mix with water, so it absorbs really well. I've personally tried out the Midlife Essentials in passion fruit and black currant. Now, no more juggling a handful of pills trying to cover my bases. I get 8 ounces of water and my daily recommended dosage. No complicated routine, no guilt for skipping out on my vitamins. Biologica is made without added sugar and developed alongside women's health experts who actually understand how much our nutritional needs change over time. So head to biologica.com/assembly to get started. Take their quick hormonal life stage quiz to find the formula that's right for you. And right now, subscribers can receive up to 32% off of their first purchase. Again, make sure to go to biologica.com/assembly and get up to 32% off your first subscription order today. Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams is brought to you by Helix. I spend way too many nights on the road, and there is nothing like coming home to a mattress that knows me. Since I switched to Helix last year, a good night's sleep is always within reach. I liked it so much, I got a second one for my guest room, and now I have happier visitors. Buying a Helix couldn't be easier. They have free shipping in the U.S. and seamless delivery right to your doorstep. Helix is the most awarded mattress brand, tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired. And you can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. Helix has a 120-night sleep trial and a lifetime limited warranty. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. With Helix, I am getting a better night's sleep and having better mornings. Go to helixsleep.com/assembly for 20% off site-wide, 25% off on Luxe mattresses, and 30% off Elite mattresses. That's helixsleep.com/assembly for 20% off site-wide, 25% off Luxe mattresses, and 30% off of Elite mattresses. Visit helixsleep.com/assembly. I mean, one of the ways we show courage in our daily lives is the act of voting. And as we head into the midterms in 4 months, voting rights continues to be one of the key levers being used by this administration, by this regime, to steal our democracy. And we know that...
Oh, it's a terrible threat going on now.
And one of the reasons that, of course, it's top of mind for me is that when you can come after voting rights, you can come after all of the rights that are supported and lifted up, the right to free expression, the right to knowledge. And we know that last week, the Postmaster General, David Steiner, confirmed that the U.S. Postal Service intends to not deliver mail ballots in states that refuse to provide voter data to the federal government, which is the exact opposite of the censorship that we don't want they're doing. But this is a censorship that is unconstitutional.
Yes.
And the reason it matters is because right now, under the Constitution, it's the states that have dominion over that information. And for any of our audience, the thing to understand about mail-in ballots is that we don't have an option. You need the Postal Service. For most Americans, you need the Postal Service to be the delivery system. And if the Postal Service refuses, there is now a cost. There's a poll tax if you have to pay someone else to do this work. And I want to talk to both of you about this, but I'm going to start with you, Savante. You know, you took the lead in not only creating this Artist for Democracy, but also creating the People's For Defend the Black Vote campaign. And I would love for you to talk about why this sits in tandem with the other democracy work that you're doing.
I believe that when it comes to voting in particular, your vote is both a sword and a shield. The best way to defend your right to vote is to use it. And that the more we vote, the more we can vote into office, people who respect our rights to vote. So there can and should be lawsuits against these horrible, unconstitutional, unthinkable actions. But the very best way to defend the Black vote, particularly now that just, I think, every leg of the Civil Rights Act, the act that Dr. King marched for and died for, that the civil rights movement was so proud to have won in the 1960s, every leg of that has now been kicked out by the Supreme Court. So the way to make sure we can get a new Voting Rights Act is to make sure that as many Black Americans as possible vote and as many people who believe in civil rights to vote. So we mobilize across, we're planning this year, across 22 states, targeting particularly Black male voters who voted at a lower propensity. And we're reaching them through our state-of-the-art digital teams, but also in real-life organizing and door-knocking to turn out that vote. Because otherwise, each state, empowered now by the Supreme Court, will chip away at it until our very chance to defend ourselves through the ballot box is already gone.
Well, Kathleen, in 2021, you were on the front lines of a protest in front of the White House calling for action on voting rights. And you have watched, as have I and so many, as voting rights, as Svante just pointed out, have been decimated, starting with the Shelby v. Holder decision in 2013, and then the Brnovich decision in 2021, the Rusho decision, which was technically not about the Voting Rights Act, but really created this, the pathway for partisanship and gerrymandering. And then, of course, the Calais decision and the Allen v. Milligan decisions. And yet, as an artist, you have been a vocal advocate, but in addition, you have been an activist that has really called others into, you know, community with you. Can you talk about why voting rights have become such a central pillar for you in this fight?
Well, I think a lot of my marching and being there has been very much about women's rights, which are incredibly threatened now, shockingly so. And of course, you can't really separate these issues. I believe in showing up. That is incredibly powerful. I mean, even if you don't say a word, although I do love to use my voice.
Yes. And with good reason. It might be the
exactly.
best the best voice
well,
in America.
I was talking to my very dear friend Gloria Felt, who has created this Women Take the Lead organization that's extraordinary. And she called me up this morning and she said, you know, will you be our voice of God at the upcoming conference? I said, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. You know, just send the tell me which studio. Anyway, showing up is irreplaceable. There's nothing like it. And just the act of that is so powerful. And we're seeing it more and more. I mean, the No Kings parades and so many of the actions being taken larger than ever by Americans, literally standing up and marching is invaluable. And any chance one has, I think you have to take to just show up, guys.
Because don't you think, Kathleen, I feel like the fascists show you what's powerful through what they're, even through their denial. They'll try and tell you now, oh, the No Kings, that doesn't matter. Just so silly, all these people standing in the street. When Donald Trump throws a party, what lies do they say? The biggest, the crowds were huge, mm-hmm. huge crowds. They know the power of a huge crowd. They know how many people meet each other in a huge crowd. They know what courage it gives people in a huge crowd, which is why they try to discourage defenders of freedom while fibbing about their own huge, massive crowd sizes.
Oh, indeed. But about artists, Stacey, you ask about fear in terms of what, getting another job or having some defamation, I suppose, imposed. An artist knows that does not change the work. Mm. That the work that you put into your expression, your power of action, of exercising your art, they can't touch that. They can't change that.
And I also think the courage that, listen, I look at our board, you, Jamie Lee Curtis, Carrie Mae Weems, Shepard Fairey, yeah. You guys are going to work forever. So it's not, people will try and tell you if you stand up and take a stand, it's going to hurt your career. You're a great example of why the opposite is true.
You know, truly, that just doesn't change how you do what you do.
Yeah. Well, I want to lift up Olivia Rodrigo. We've name-checked some extraordinary artists. And I know, Kathleen, you have been also outspoken on reproductive rights. Olivia Rodrigo recently announced a new festival that's inspired by Lilith Fair. She calls it the Daisy Chain Field Festival, which will have an all-woman lineup and support several organizations that are dedicated to reproductive freedom. I would love for both of you, and I'll start with you, Kathleen, to really talk about what do you want other artists to take away from how Rodrigo was leveraging her power, especially as a young woman? And then, Savante, would love for you to talk about how PFAS, Artists for Democracy, is part of that sort of arc of history and thinking about what artists can be doing.
All right. I think that what she's doing is admirable. And she's been active doing, you know, for so long. But again, what I would say is women have been judged primarily on their appearance for so long. And in this country, it is so, yes, so oppressive. I don't think that women today are buying into this so much. I really don't think that we are accepting that this is the only standard of judgment of us. And this is building wonderfully. And Olivia is a gorgeous example of it.
Well, before I let you come in, Savante, I want to sort of respond and thank you for lifting that up, Kathleen. When I ran for office, when I ran for governor, one of the critiques of me,
I know,
I didn't look like
you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And look, one day it'll work, I promise. But one of the critiques was that I was too heavy set, that my hair is natural. There were all of these comments about whether I looked the part. And I think part of the conversation about the arts is how we change what we imagine the part can look like. And would love for you to think about, and Savante, you're welcome to join in too now, but just how important it is that we use the arts to reframe our imagination of what leadership and power look like. And would love to have you respond to that.
Well, I can't honestly say that I feel that my industry is doing enough to change these outdated images. I mean, I don't know. I see too many people who look like they have no intestines at all. Yeah. And I'm wondering how they do it. I think that I am thankful that when I was starting out in my career as an actress, social media was not so powerful, not so influential. And I do pity and worry about that power now. But like every power, you have to not accept it. I mean, just, honey, I would love to change the image of the commercial woman in the United States. But I honestly don't really know how to go about that.
Okay, Savante, solve this problem for us.
I'm going to show myself out. All I will say is, you know, and I'm famously, stupidly optimistic. I mean, the way my life has unfolded has made me, I'm the last person at the election night victory party that's turned into a defeat. And I think, though, it's because of the shape, this long history of how we have changed. My sister's Vote for You, Stacey, she was at Spelman. This young Black girl who never thought she'd vote for somebody who looked like herself. And she wasn't alone. It was 20 years ago. It was unthinkable that you and someone who looked like you would be getting millions and millions and millions of votes. Which you did. And you made so many of us proud, and not just proud, but you inspired all these other young girls who are going to, they're going to become the governor of Texas. They're going to become the president of the United States. They're going to become a Supreme Court justice like Ketanji Brown Jackson. It's Norman named us People for the American Way. When he was a boy, little Jewish boy in Brooklyn, these two other, just barely older than them, the Jewish kids, while anti-Semitism was rising in the America First crowd in New York and in Germany, was talking about the Übermensch and the real superhumans that were supposed to dominate the world. These blonde-haired, blue-eyed supermen, these two Jewish kids created Superman. And they had him fight for truth, justice, and the American way. They had him stand up for little people and punch out Nazis. And he was an illegal alien in this country. They had to hide his identity. And the ripple effect of what that art, comic books are art, what that art did for generations and for honestly, for billions of people around the world is what gives me hope that we can do better. But it won't happen on accident. We have to do it. And that's what Kathleen and all of us at People for the American Way do.
I just wanted to add that, I'm a cockeyed optimist also. I suppose part of it, you have to be, you know. But it's good. It's good. I do believe in the essential character of the American people. I think we're great.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
The What A Day podcast you know and love is shaking things up. You already know that 5 days a week, I, Jane Costin, bring you the need-to-know news and expert analysis on the big stories shaping today and tomorrow. Stories like how social media warps our perception of the world and the strange reality of who is signing up to work for ICE. All in less time than it takes to roast a chicken. And now, What A Day episodes will be hitting your YouTube and podcast feeds in the afternoons. You'll get the breaking news even faster. Check out What A Day, now dropping in the PM on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Kathleen and Samande, I'm going to lean into your cockeyed optimism and give you guys the assignment we give here on Assembly Required, which is that as our guests, you have to give our audience homework. And so, you know, I would love, we know that one of their responsibilities is to go out and get PFAS Art of Saving Democracy Action Toolkit, regardless of your artistic ability. But starting with you, Savante, what is one small thing that everyone can do to use artistic expression to make a difference? Give them something to do.
I love that. Well, first, I would also watch Animal Farm, which came out last year, in which Kathleen voices...
I'm a donkey.
She's a donkey.
I'm Benjamin.
Benjamin, which if you...
Practical, cynical survivor. There you go.
Yes, the most practical and wisest voice, perhaps, in all of Animal Farm.
Indeed.
And honestly, to share. Sharing is the most, you know, for me, I'm kind of the Salieri of this Amadeus movie. You know, I know art enough to know it when I see it. Wish I could produce it, but can't. So what I do, and I hope everybody does, is share. When you see something that is moves you, you don't even have to tell them it's political. Just suggest to your friend that they watch Animal Farm. Suggest that they watch War of the Roses. Suggest that they listen to Stacey's podcast. Your only assignment this week is to share something that moved you with people in your life.
Kathleen Turner, you rightly get the very last word. So go, tell us what to do, because that's really how America should work.
My homework is reading. Find a book, pick a book, any book, happy to say any book, read it out loud to yourself. And when you hear it, you'll hear phrases, you'll hear words that spark ideas. So those ideas you take to someone else, you say, you know what, I read this sentence. And what is it, you know, made me think of this. And start there. Don't be afraid to share ideas, but start with saying them out loud to yourself.
And that is why you are you. Savante Myrick and the extraordinary Kathleen Turner, thank you so much for joining me today on Assembly Required.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
As always at Assembly Required, we give you actionable tools to help make a difference. First, let's be curious. One of the best ways to understand where we're headed is to dive into where we've been. And few authors do that as well as Colson Whitehead. And one of my favorite novels by him is John Henry Days. The story tracks 120 years of American history, from the folktale of the railroad worker to how America confronts and cloaks its challenges even now. So pick it up. Number two, we got to solve problems. Visit People for the American Way's website at peoplefor.org and check out their Art of Saving Democracy Action Toolkit to learn more about how to use art for social impact. And third, let's do some good. Record high temperatures nationwide are slowly easing up, but they are an important reminder to be vigilant about caring for vulnerable communities when extreme weather hits, because it's going to get worse before it gets better. So please check on your elderly friends and neighbors, particularly those who live alone. Make sure they're safe. When you see someone who's unsheltered, see if you can help them find access to cooling centers in your community where people without power can go. I'd love to thank those of you who share questions and comments via my Substack, Assembly Notes, or Crooked Media's Discord, and other platforms. Keep the questions and comments coming. Tell others about us and add us to your feed. And let me know what episodes resonate and what you'd like to learn more about. And in case you're wondering, yes, I do read the comments. In fact, Demi698 wrote, "Thank you, Stacy and staff, for all the work it takes to bring this empowering podcast to our ears every week." I personally picked Demi698's comment today because I too want to thank the team here at Assembly Required and the broader Crooked Media family. Special thank you to Melissa Murray, Aaron Ryan, and Jane Coaston for sitting in for me over the past couple of weeks. And to our team here at Assembly Required, especially Alona, Farah, and Priyanka, for stepping up on short notice. I experienced a death in the family. I lost my father a few weeks ago, and it is because of the family here at Crooked Media that I was able to take the time we needed. We talk a lot about how community is how we win, and I want to express very clearly how grateful I am for mine. And so whether it's compliments or constructive criticism, whether it's ideas for what should happen, or shared grief about what's not working quite so well right now, please keep the feedback coming. That wraps up this episode of Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams. Do good out there, and I'll meet you here next week. Assembly Required is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Alona Minkowski and Farah Safari with Katie Long and Adrian Hill. Our team includes Matt DeGrote, Ben Heathcote, Kirill Polaviv, Jordan Cantor, Charlotte Landis, and Jay Banks. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
The What A Day podcast you know and love is shaking things up. You already know that 5 days a week, I, Jane Coaston, bring you the need-to-know news and expert analysis on the big stories shaping today and tomorrow. Stories like how social media warps our perception of the world and the strange reality of who is signing up to work for ICE. All in less time than it takes to roast a chicken. And now, What A Day episodes will be hitting your YouTube and podcast feeds in the afternoons. You'll get the breaking news even faster. Check out What A Day, now dropping in the PM on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.